Tonight I want to talk about one of the things that really bothers us in the last days. Things seem to get worse. You know, you had the terrible report of a man, a pilot, ramming a plane into the French Alps. Now, I can understand him being angry with the French, but to kill a lot of people, and Germans and different nationalities, what makes a man do something so evil with no consideration? And it's amazing the capacity for evil some people have. And here I'm in 1 Peter, and Second Peter, I beg your pardon. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. One of the things that's so important is in today's world, churches are more interested in people getting rich. But the truth is, God wants to bless us with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his life. It's not with the knowledge of money and wealth. And it goes on and talks about it, which I'll come to in a minute. The other thing is, you have to actually develop yourself by reading the Word of God, by adding things that God has put in you spiritually. And then there's the precious promises are the way you become a partaker of the divine nature. But if you don't study the scripture, if you don't understand and go to the right place to hear it, then basically you won't develop. And then the entrance into the kingdom is a wonderful entrance, but if you don't take heed to yourself, you're going to find it mighty hard to get in. And so he's saying your basic life has got to change. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're truly born again, you're a child of God, There's no way you can go to hell. But it means that you'll lose out on your inheritance. If you don't study, you'll never become a real partaker of the divine nature. You'll be saved as by fire, Paul says in Corinthians, which is not a nice idea, you know. And then he goes on, having exhorted them to remember, he said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables," in verse 16, "when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Now here Peter's saying, well, you know, in the Transfiguration, they heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." You know, Moses had gone, Elijah had gone, and there was Jesus only. And one of the things that I think is so important to understand is in this day and age, we've got to acknowledge him. And it goes on, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn those with an overthrown, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." And he goes on, But the thing I want to bring out is so many people today are being encouraged to believe the wrong things. Governments have set different values. Same-sex marriage, homosexuality, all the kind of things that are wrong. And they've tried to change the whole of the world to believe in wrong things. And you've got the... you've just got an evil level of people. The true prophets of God are there, but there's a lot of false prophets now, prophesying wealth, prosperity, prophesying all kinds of things, but they leave Jesus Christ out, the one we came to worship, the one we came to follow, the one we believe in. He's eradicated from their minds. And we need to see that God looks on everything, and he says, well, if they lie, they get up and prophesy. And usually they do it out of a desire for money and wealth. Then God will judge them, and he will finish them. And one of the things we're really stuck on is what is truly happening in the world. And he goes on, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, yet despise governments, presumptuous they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive a reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to not... oh dear, I can't see it.
To riot
in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practice. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds are they carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them, who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And it goes on. The one thing, it always occurs to me, you know, I've been listening to the election coming up in our country, and everyone's getting up and lying. You know, they make promises they can't keep. We're meant to be out of debt, you know, coming out of debt, when in actual fact, we're more in debt than we were, but we can be less in debt later on, so they say. And you listen to them, and everything's to win you and to get hold of your mind, your heart, everything. And things like the behaviour of people is no longer regarded as important, but Christians have clear words spoken by God saying, look, if you do this, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be cast into outer darkness. You cannot live without facing up to the realities of life. You can't get away with it. God sees everything. So sooner or later, you're going to have to pay the price. And it's better to pray it now. Get your heart right with God and obey him than to live like brute beasts, like animals. And I think one of the things we have to face is that society doesn't have any respect for authority anymore. They just will do what they want to do. And I was watching the other night when they were talking about the railways. Now, you know, you can't just keep going on strike for more and more money. If you do, you're going to bankrupt the people you work for. You can't make demands that can't be met. And you can't expect the country to look after you if you're not working and paying anything. But what's happened in our society now is people have flooded in from all over the world, and they want to live off us. And there's few that work anyway, but they want everything given to them. And so Peter was saying, hey, this is the wrong way of living. This is not what you should do. You've got to turn and take responsibility for your life, for the life of your family, for the life of your children. But you've also got to take responsibility for preaching the word of God. We're not here for ourselves. God put us on the earth for a purpose, and we have to fulfill his purpose in life. We're not here just to please ourselves. Well, doesn't matter. It does matter. Every single one of us has to be a voice. And if enough voices speak up, we're meant to be ministering to the nations. God sent us to preach the gospel, it says in Matthew. It's not to individuals, it's to nations. Now, what has happened is evangelicals have turned it round and put it, it's all individuals you're talking to. No, you're talking to nations. Go and teach all nations. And that is what we preach, teach and heal. Teaching the nation, not teaching an individual. Now, the Christian has backed out of standing up in the forefront. So you've got the Muslims that are standing up. And young people are joining the mosques because they have standards. It's the wrong standards. It's the wrong God. But they have a philosophy of standards. And young people want something that's clear and has leadership in it. And these evil men appear to have leadership. And they appear in a religious guise. But to go and plant bombs, murder people, go off shooting, I mean, what's wrong with them? Men, women and children murdered. And so we've got to face the fact that the gospel's a good gospel, but it's only good if it's used. And we can't afford to let people stand up and prophesy falsely. We can't afford to let people come and do what they like. We have to say, no, this is wrong. But society doesn't want to do it anymore. It's amazing. Obama won't even admit that it's Islam that's doing it. And we look, and more, there's a big divide coming. And the big divide's going to come between the righteous and the unrighteous. What can we do? We've got to speak out. And we've got to be honest. And not... And it says, look, these people that come along, they pretend verse 15, they've forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity.
the dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's pretty, I mean, it just says what it says. Oh, thank you, that is better. I just couldn't see too well. Wonder what that was. When people turn like that, when you know they've gone against God's law, they've gone against God's way, and you turn up in a church to listen to the rubbish, you know, some do, or you go to, you know, the devil's kitchen, or you go to one of the Pentecostal churches, you know, that has no life, it suddenly occurs to you, these people are wells without water. They don't actually have something to give you. Great swelling words they might say, but the only swelling is in their brain. It's not beneficial at all. And in the end, we have to look and ask God, well, what is going wrong? They prophesy things that never come to pass. They hold on to things that are untrue. And we need to wake up. And the hardest thing for a Christian to do is to face the fact, you know, people tell you, well, you've got to forgive everyone. You've got to love everyone. You've got to be merciful to everyone. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. But it's kind of a universal acceptance of bigotry and stupidity and wanton evil. And people are getting manipulated. You see them in church. They're taught all kinds of rubbish about prosperity, all types of rubbish about forgiveness. You know, they've told that they've got to forgive everyone from the day of their birth up to the day they're about to die. It's a load of rubbish. If you forgive everyone everything, you become greater than God, because God is not going to forgive everyone. So if you believe you can forgive everyone, you've achieved something greater than God. He's chosen not to forgive. And we need to be like him. It says if someone offend you 7 times 70 in a day, you're to forgive if he repents. Not just to forgive, but he's got to repent. And I think that what we've got now is an unjudgmental church. They don't judge anything. They accept prophets who get up and say rubbish, but prophecy is not for a private interpretation, and yet they will interpret it. You find people, I personally find people, ministers, who when they argue on scripture, they add another interpretation. Or instead of accepting what God says is on the page, they'll have an excuse of twisting it round because they knew someone who happened, this happened to them, or someone who that happened. But we're not looking for anecdotal evidence. We're looking at what the Word of God says. We're to obey the Word of God. And we're not to make merchandise of it. And we're not to pretend it says something it doesn't say. And all over the world today, you've got seeker-friendly gospel. You've got the people who will tell you that you can have everything you want. All you've got to do is speak it out and believe it. And if you speak it out of your mouth, it'll happen. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't. And the reality is, you get into a place and you think you can speak health to someone and they die. So that should tell you what's in you, death, and you're communicating it. We have to come to a place of simple honesty and openness, and we have to admit where we fall short, and we have to correct our lives, and we have to have diligence to making our calling and election sure. You can't pretend in the church. It won't work. You can't claim what isn't yours. You cannot be what you're not. And you can't actually have and become a partaker of the divine nature unless you study the Word of God, give all diligence to make your calling sure, and don't sham and fake. I remember having Americans over from Atlanta, and there was 7 or 8 of them came, and they were doing Bible college. And so I had them in Bible college for about 2 or 3 weeks, and suddenly I thought, these are young people. They were 18, 19, 20. They need a career. So I got the women into nursing, and they went and get a nursing degree and worked in hospitals. I got the men out. One became a mechanic. Another one went into surveying. And I made them work. And then I said, if you want to study the Bible, come this evening. Come, but you work. You earn your way. You pay your way. And you realize that life isn't about hiding away from the world, but life is in the world, but we're not of it. You need a career. You need a way to make money. You need a way to live, to have a family. But if you become one of those who thinks they're called of God to be a minister and they're not, then basically you become a burden to the church because you don't succeed. So I turned them all round and got them all out working. And it did them good. They got their qualifications and some of them are still doing it. You know, they're going out nursing and working in hospitals. Fixing cars, doing all sorts. But my concern was life is more than a box of chocolates. Sounds like gum. Forrest Gump. But it's more than just dreaming. You actually have to do something and succeed at it. And God's given us all a capacity to succeed in some realm. And here Peter's saying, hey, look, don't get misled by wrong leaders. There's people that will promise you the earth and give you a mud pie. They'll say you can do something, but you can't go beyond the measure that God's given you. And then your motive is so important to God. What's in your heart is the most important thing in life. You cannot become something that you're not. What you can do is allow by obedience and studying of God's word and diligence, after you're born again, you can develop in the way that God wants you to develop. But what you can't do is say, oh, well, it's all up to God. God will do it. Or let's just trust God. You know, the favourite phrases they have. And in actual fact, they're not trusting God at all. Because if they trust God, you do what he says. And the whole secret of life is, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. In other words, you're not a person who sits back and does nothing. You have to work. You have to give diligence. You have to study the word of God. You have to become aware of the nature of God and how he operates in earth and in life. And when you do that, your life changes. So my big challenge is, I don't want anyone to become a pilot and sit and ram their plane into the earth and kill people. I don't want people to live carelessly so they end up in all kinds of manner of sin. I don't want them to be like the dog who forgets his estate and goes back and eats his own vomit, and the pig that goes and wallows in the filth. That's not what God wants for us. He's given us a better hope, a better life. But the only way you're going to keep it is by realizing you have responsibility and you have to study. You have to give diligence. And then you become a partaker of the divine nature and develop in God to be something fruitful in the world, not something that's just, breathing space. Some people, it'd be better if they stopped breathing. They contaminate everything they touch. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be a blessing to the people around us, to the church, and to be faithful and to give diligence to do the right things. And so Peter writes them with a challenge. You can live this way or this way, but you've got to make the decision. Now, God gives you the power. God gives you the strength, but God also demands that you do something. You've got to live right. You've got to behave right. You've got to be right. And so I'm all for challenging people. Rome wasn't built in a day. Your life won't be built in a day, but you can take the first step towards going right and then live every day, reading the word of God, studying it, understanding what God wants for your life, and then becoming a partaker of it. That's my thing. When I hear of disasters like happened today or yesterday with a man just committing suicide and killing people, it's so vile a thing to do with babies and children. No natural human being should be like that. And the false prophets and the false teachers, they come in the church and they're as destructive as the man crashing the plane. And their thoughts are vile, their attitudes are vile, and God intends to bring judgment on them. So all we have to do is be faithful to him, and he'll do the rest. He'll bring our enemies to naught. And that's really the truth of what we're in. And you've got to give all diligence to do it. You can't just say, oh, well, God will take care of it. No, he gave you the responsibility to take care of it. Let's just pray. Father, I just pray for each one. Lord, who hears the words, stir them up to be diligent in well-doing, to be faithful in obedience to you, and to follow your word wholeheartedly, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.